to Soup with Frank, episode 5, and I can't believe we've got into 5 episodes. Not that, you know, we have some network controlling it, but I can't believe I actually convinced 5 people to come on here. But yeah, it feels like the fall's gone pretty quick. But this episode is electric, as the kids say. Welcome to the people that are listening, because Molly's on the episode. Hello. Well, I guess I can do a bit of an intro into that. But my guest on the podcast, well, we're now, I mean, soup best friends. I mean, we made it official on the podcast. I'd actually talk soup on this episode, which we did not really do on the last episode, or really the past 2 episodes. So we really got back to the basics. I mean, Soup It Ain't Easy was just a soup fest on this episode. So, but I mean, Soup It Ain't Easy. We've got to talk about soup once in a while. So, yeah, but my guest on this podcast is Molly McAleer. I hope I said her name correctly. She is the host of the Trend Lightly podcast and the Mother May I Sleep With podcast. I hope I said those correctly. But yeah, she found us on TikTok. We posted some stuff on TikTok. I need to do better posting on TikTok. She found us. She's like, you know, I would love to be a guest on a soup podcast. And I didn't know if she was serious. And then I'm just like, hey, do you want to come on? And one thing, I mean, we'll talk about it on this, a couple seconds. I'm terrible at intro. If you're listening for Molly, don't worry, I'll stop talking in a second. But just a warning that there was some strong language during this episode, so if you're sensitive to that or you have kids around, there's your warning. I made sure to flag it or whatever. But all right, without further ado, before I start, I did ask Molly to come together with a list of her favorite soups, so it may have appeared like Molly just was like, here, I'm on your podcast, here's a list of soups. I asked her for that list, for the record, so it's not like she just was like, okay, here's my list of top soups. I wanted to just, you know, get a good, when someone's really into soup and you kind of have that shared interest, I kind of just want to get a good picture of her soup interest, you know, her taste of soup, which, I mean, hopefully you got like my soup interest and Jimbo's soup interest from Soup It Ain't Easy over the past over 2 years. So, all right, I'll just get into the conversation without further ado. Molly and I's conversation. I guess I don't really have to do this long of an intro. Here you go. Fall into Soup with Frank, and my guest needs no introduction, but I guess I'll give her one. Molly McAleer, who's the host of Trend Lightly. Hopefully I got that right. And someone who met us on her TikTok at Soup It Ain't Easy. Go follow that right now, please. That would be great. But found us on TikTok, and that's how we met. Molly, how are you?
I'm so excited to be here. Like, this is beyond. Sometimes things, they can just really happen for you, you guys. Mm. I just was scrolling through TikTok, as I do every day. I also, don't tell anyone I said this, but I am the moderator of a Instagram page called Horny for Bitcoin.
Okay.
Horny number 4 Bitcoin. And that's my life's work, really, is curating that TikTok account of just really like the the best humor TikToks that exist. That's the only way to put it. And I'm scrolling through and I see this thing that I assume must be a joke at first, because I'm like, there's no way that anyone else cares about this as much as me, which is like, you know, the first thing you should never say, because it turns out I have a 3.5 hour Lifetime original movie podcast and people listen to it. So it turns out that there's pretty much an audience for anything. And yeah, I was like, there's no way that there's a podcast about soup. And so I just wrote, I would love to be on a podcast about soup. And I moved on with my life. And I'm not going to lie. I did think of you guys a couple times. Like I did think like, wow, maybe you should reach out to those soup people and see if they want to have you on. Because like, I just, you know, I have so many feelings about soup, and I know that that's not really like so much what you do. Like, I think I took took the title very literally. Right. Which might be exciting in its own way. I don't know. But yeah, I just was like, this is something I could talk about forever. And if I could have a soup podcast, if I'm doing like 3 podcasts right now, recording like 6 podcasts a week. That's never going to stop me from like trying to add more onto the pile, but I don't think I have time to host a soup podcast. So the next best thing is being on one. And thankfully, God, was it like 2 weeks later, or is time just like a flat circle?
Yeah, I guess it was two. Well, so what happened was I saw the comment, and then one of our super fans saw it and is like, you know, you should definitely come on. It's super fun. She was actually Jen. She was on the podcast. And then Pat, another guy who's on our podcast, also is like, you know, it's great, whatever. And then you followed us, and then I'm like, this is great. So the funny thing is, like, we were trying to have you on as well, because, you know, at first when I saw, like, I'd love to be on a podcast, I was thinking, oh, is this like one of these bots or whatever? And then I'm like, no, it's a soup podcast. And then, you know, right. One thing led to another. And then, you know, we slid into the DMs, as the kids say. And now we're here. So yeah,
I know. I liked it because it felt like it felt like there was no agenda between us. And that's what I really liked. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to encroach on your soup podcast. Mm-hmm. And you're not like some person who like, you know, flies right over to the Insta or like sees that I maybe have like 6 videos posted to my TikTok that are all some sort of like social experiment for my podcast. Like, you know, I like what has happened here, you know, how we came together. This is fantastic. And you know, the universe is on our side.
Right. What's good discourse? Is that the term I want to use? Good.
We're going to get some great discourse in.
Discourse. Today. Yes. Yeah. That word of the day calendar working overtime. So, yes, I felt like I learned a little about like your soup preferences from your podcast, but I was told that from you that maybe I didn't, and you brought a top 10 list of your favorite soups potentially. So I don't know if we can get like number 10 on the list or
sure. So I don't also host a soup podcast, just so you know. I was so excited about coming on a soup podcast that I talked about it on Trend Lately like a week before we recorded it. And kids, if you're ever doing something like this in the industry, listen to me. Don't tell people that you're going to be on something before it goes to air, because you could wind up on the cutting room floor. And I realized like something terrible could happen during this, Frank, and this may never see the light of day, but here I am. I've already gone on the record, you know, sort of like lawlessly and recklessly listing my favorite soups in preparation for this. And I've given you the wrong impression. So let's, okay. So number 10, let's see. I'm going to go with like for number 10, I'm actually going to start with broccoli cheddar.
Wow. So is this, but for the disclaimer, is this in ranking order for like 10 being, you know, your favorite, but not your favorite, and like 1 being the top one? Or is this in no particular order?
It's in some order. Okay. Like I am not going to lie. I did text my mom. Well, my mom was already texting me. And I said to her, like, hey, I'm like working on this list of soups for this soup podcast I'm going on. do you remember any soups I loved that I wouldn't have thought of? And so she did throw a couple out at me that I had to add to the list retroactively. I also did some edits here. Listen, these, I can't promise that these, my list will rotate in life. So don't ever hold me to this is okay. Basically, but I think my number one and my number two are pretty locked in.
Okay.
And they may switch alternately from time to time, but yeah, no, it's who knows.
So the reason I ask is I don't have a list, but as super fans know, my favorite soup of all time is broccoli in cheddar soup. So okay. Yeah, it's well in a bread bowl, but we can get to that because I heard about the bread bowl preferences. We do have Bread Bowl Nation, stand up. When you mentioned it, your co-host on Trend Lightly mentioned broccoli and Stilton cheese soup, which I never heard of. We've never talked about. And I'm like, it sounded so good.
I know. So she's like British, you know, like, she's actually like Welsh, but she lives in the UK. And she was like telling me, you know, we were talking about soups we've very much established this by now. And here's my deal. I fucking love the idea of broccoli and cheddar. Why I have it ranked so low is because I don't want to be lumped in with, and I will be taking some snobbery hits today, and that's fine. I think my roots of loving soup are actually really humble, but I do have very specific taste preferences. And my fear is that when I say broccoli and cheddar, and this is not for you, this is for me. I'm afraid of people thinking that I'm drinking that Velveeta and like loose pieces of green shit that's at Panera.
Right.
You know, and I want people to know I'm looking for a more broccoli forward soup.
Well, yeah, there's a dangerous game with that because I've had it both ways. I've had it where it's a cheese soup where they basically just throw some steamed broccoli in there, or it's like lawn clipping style broccoli where it's just, you know, you can't, there's some green stuff in there, but it's not like, you need to have like a healthy balance with the soup where you get a little like crunch of the broccoli so you know it's there.
Here's what you don't even know about, I don't think, okay. Is that there's a version of the broccoli cheddar where you pulverize that broccoli in like a Nutribullet, not liquefy it. You just want an incredibly rough chop to the point that it's like indistinguishable. Like you can't see like if it came from the tree trunk or what, you know? And that is like, that type is bomb because it allows them to like live together in a really beautiful way. And I've actually made one of the best purchases of my life. You guys, I went over to Home Goods one day. I was experiencing depression and I was living in this apartment that had a Home Goods across the street. And I like, was like, I have to go buy something. And I wound up finding this Dutch oven and that thing has gone everywhere with me. It's like $30. Like I have much more expensive cookware, but this was just the perfect Home Goods deal, I'm telling you. And I've been making my own soups for a really long time. It's like a vegan broccoli cheddar I've made as well. Wow. That uses heavy on the nutritional yeast, of course, but I prefer the almost blending method.
So what kind of cheese is there actual like cheese in there, like soy cheese or?
So nutritional yeast is like, basically it's like this, I don't know, I guess yeast. I don't know. I don't want to think about it too much, but like something that all vegans use because it like, it has like an incredibly cheesy flavor to the point that you're like, whoa, that's like actually disrupting my situation that there's like a piece of yeast that tastes so much like a block of cheddar. So it's very much like, you know, it's used in a lot of things where they sort of want to get that taste going on, but if you, when you think about what broccoli cheddar really is, and unless you're getting it at like one of the places that gives you Velveeta with a stray broccoli in it, It's more like it's broth based. Mm-hmm, it's like, right. you know, you got to have the vegetable broth in. Then you mm-hmm. do like, then you do, this is how you make it feel like creamy. You go get that coconut meat in a can.
Okay.
And you use like just a scoop of it and it's like sour cream. I'm telling you this, I know there's people who are recoiling right now because this is not what they're used to. And right. I am like so terrified. I know you brought up the bread bowl because I've now derailed us on an important point, which is that I had to go gluten-free recently. And mm-hmm. so it, like, I'll be the one here first to tell you that it fucking sucks. Like, I don't know why people act. It's all like the weird keto ass people that are like, no, like, it's actually like not bad. There's a lot of really good options. It's like, no, you're making a huge sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Like if you've ever eaten gluten, it's so good. And it's in like everything that you want to eat. I didn't know it was in miso soup. That was how the whole gluten thing came up. But yeah, bread bowl. I never really loved to burp, but I definitely can't now, which is like just a nice excuse for me. That's how I process that.
Yeah, my co-host Jimbo, he is not a fan of the bread bowl. He is not a part of Bread Bowl Nation. I am the leader of Bread Bowl Nation.
Of course.
Yeah. It's not like I eat all soup in a bread bowl. To be honest, I shouldn't say this. I probably haven't had a bread bowl soup in, I don't know. I think I had one when we did a trip around Cape Cod. So it was probably over a year. And it's not, I understand where like you come from and stuff. I mean, especially if you have like gluten insensitivities and stuff like that. Like I get.
No, I have a sensitivity. I wish I had an insensitivity.
Oh, a sensitivity. Okay.
No, I wish I had an insensitivity. No. But yeah, you're new to bread bowls. Like you're excited about them. That's great.
It's not new. I mean, I probably when I was like six, which I know people would be like, that was like only a couple of years ago. It was a little longer than that. Unfortunately, I'm getting old. It's something that I've probably only had maybe 20 times in my life, but I champion the bread bowl. And anytime there's bread bowl news, comes to the front of our podcast and we have to discuss it. But I get where people are like, okay, I eat soup out of this bread. And then what do I do with it afterwards?
I feel like you guys really could, and feel free to cut this out and just keep the idea. I feel like you really could come out with like a successful line of t-shirts that are based on soup and like soup and ain't easy, just as like, you know, sort of like H3 and like how they have Teddy Fresh. Like, I feel like you could have a clothing company based on soup, just because when you say Bread Bowl Nation, I'm like, I feel like that's something that so many people I know would be thrilled to align themselves with.
You know what? I have thought about like, you know, a Vineyard Vines Patagonia, like Life is Good style of just like soup wear. That's probably niching ourselves too much in that. But that
no, I love that.
Just like a, maybe we get a Life is Good collaboration. And it's just that stick figure guy just chomping down in some soup, chilling out like in a bread bowl, like a hot tub, you know, just a Bread Bowl Nation, just pocket tees everywhere. No, this may not make the cutting room floor, but
I think that, no, I honestly think that that's, I love that aesthetic, first of all. And I have a, well, if you're cutting this, but like, I will say that like something about matching that aesthetic with soups is so great, because I'm an elder millennial that like has some Gen X traits, like in terms of how I was raised, and like we really were raised like making soup by ourselves so much, which is like where I think like maybe the foundation of my love of soup came from. So like I think the ironic callback to those things that were so like, I don't know, like just so much like they popularized that stuff. Like the Life is Good reference is like crazy good reference. I think that's a Boston company. It started out as a Boston company. But yeah. Okay. Sorry. Back to, sorry. To
it's good.
Do Shark Tank.
I'm in. Or what are they? I guess they don't say I'm in on Shark Tank. I guess they only say I'm out.
Well, yeah, they mostly say, and for that reason, I'm out.
So, I guess, do you have anything else you need to get off your chest with the broccoli and cheese or broccoli and cheddar? I'm sorry, soup.
No, nothing to get off my chest. I wish that I could indulge in it more, but it makes me feel guilty just the sight of it.
Right.
And, you know, I look to soup as, you know, definitely a meal. I would never say I don't think soup is a meal. And that's not a conversation I'm even willing to start. So, yeah, but I just wish that, you know, it's on the list because I do think it absolutely slaps. I will get it if it's like one of the, you know, soup of the days. I love a restaurant that has like one or two standing soups, but then they'll like have one or two soups of the day. I'm big into that. So yeah, just shout out broccoli cheddar. I wish I could do more for you.
I mean, it's not a soup that you can have all the time. I mean, it's kind of like the deep dish pizza of soups, I feel like, where it's like, I mean, I'm not going to get in a deep dish discussion because it's not my favorite. But what I mean is it's like, you know, you can't have deep dish pizza if you have like one slice. It like ruins your day, where broccoli cheese is in that way. But it's not like a soup that you eat before you, you know, go on a hike or something. It's staying inside, watching a movie on like a day or whatever, or having at like a cafe type of soup.
Yes. Or like I just finished shopping at the mall and I'm going to like go home and just like sort of veg tonight and like put the new things I bought in my closet. So yeah, I'll do like they don't do the Sierra turkey at Panera anymore, which keeps me far away from it. But well, I guess I can't eat that now anyway. But no, like the broccoli cheddar is something you tuck into for sure. Like after a day of splurging and having fun, you're like, you know what? I'm going to get a broccoli cheddar.
Yes. Yeah. That's about where I sit on it as well. All right. What's your ninth soup?
Okay. This one doesn't hit the same way that it used to.
Okay.
But I do love it so much. And that is the chicken and stars from Campbell.
Wow. That's never been mentioned on this podcast before.
Well, why would it be? There's probably mostly adults that come on this show, but I love chicken and stars. Okay. It's different than I OD'd on chicken noodle. When I was a kid, my mom like would just go to Costco and like get like a case of chicken noodle. And I would just like make that three times a day because I like loved soup and I was like a kid. I'd be like watching Nickelodeon and just like pounding chicken noodle soup. But and I was also like kind of like a chunky kid. So not a chunky soup kid. Like I'm just a straight up chubby ass kid. So like I really was slamming chicken noodle. But when Chicken and Stars came into my life, there was something about it that the broth, while still condensed, it's so different. And it just tastes so good. Those little star noodles are perfectly proportioned. And I'm just a big fan. I think it's a really good soup. I like the tiny carrots. And I always pick the chicken out. You have to pick the chicken out of most of these canned soups because they have fat, like gelatinous, like not in a way that's like, oh, it's fattening. I want to save calories, but in a way that it's like, you know, it's like gelled on fat that's been stored in a can. And that's like a real bummer to me.
Did you, the thing that I think of with chicken and stars is like the different cans and stuff like Elsa and Anna, or that I remember there was like a Batman one. Did you have like a specific like character chicken and stars, or is it just like the regular Campbell's can? Or,
oh honey, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm 30. I'm in my mid 30s. Okay. Right. So there was barely a star on the can, let alone like, well, one thing this is actually like devastating. And I almost like, I started to get emotional when I was texting with my mom earlier, is that my favorite food of all time is SpaghettiOs. Like, I bought a brand new house, and it's, I had to do a lot of construction to it, but I bought my first house as an adult, and I like went to stay there, and all I had was a bed and my dog. And I took a picture for my friend of like just me laying on my bed. And my friend goes, is that a fucking can of SpaghettiOs? And she was right. The only other thing I had in my house with my dog and my bed, probably my computer, was like a stray can of SpaghettiOs that I put onto my bedroom shelf the first night. Cause I was like, oh, I'm going to want these in my new house.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to be going through construction. I want some nice SpaghettiOs. So that was definitely, that was hard for me. We had like Where's Waldo SpaghettiOs. That was our first foray into like characters on, I know, is that's how old I am. There was Where's Waldo SpaghettiOs. And then I think like they started to do like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff. But my mom was like, very like, no, Molly, that's trashy. Like, eat the adult noodles. Like, you're not a child. And I was like, 8. She's like, grow up. But no, my mom wasn't a fan of Fun Shapes.
Well, that's what, you know, I'm a little younger, but that's what I guess I associated it with. I didn't.
No, honey, you're a child. Like, do you, like the age difference between us is so massive, like mostly because of technology. Like, I was very online when I was 12 years old, but that was like the beginning of like people being able to find something on the internet that wasn't like zeros and ones or porn. So like, the age difference is massive, especially in licensing is really different as well.
Yeah. Well, I would love a Where's Waldo. Like, I don't think that came to the early 2000s Chicken and Stars. All I remember is like Batman and like Super Mario Brothers. I'm a big Where's Waldo fan, so I feel like I would probably have ate more.
You know what?
With that.
That's actually, you know what? You just really made me appreciate something. I really grew up in the golden age. Like, I was having Where's Waldo SpaghettiOs, and no offense, you had to eat fucking frozen SpaghettiOs. It's so pathetic. Like, no offense.
Right.
Our culture is just so much richer. I don't even know what to say. I will say, though, now that we've moved past that, is the life is good reference, and in reference especially to that, it's perfect, because you have a rich tapestry, and I'm proud of you, Frank.
I mean, Elsa and Anna, I looked up Chicken and Stars just to make sure I got my character references correct, because there are some people that like to point out if I'm wrong on something.
They love that.
Yeah, great super fans. They know who they are. But Elsa and Anna, a little past my Chicken and Stars prime, but I did have the Batman on a couple occasions, you know, when the babysitter when I'd get babysat, the babysitter would throw in a can of Chicken and Stars. Well, I guess you can't throw it, but, you know, pour it in a bowl and stuff like that.
Who was your babysitter?
You know what? I don't remember. I didn't have one all the time, but every time I had a babysitter, it was different every time I had one, but I would always have Chicken and Stars. They would watch, like, we would watch some Disney Channel movie at, like, High School Musical was like a big one when I was a kid, and we would just, you know, eat Chicken and Stars. Well, I would, and they would eat whatever.
Were they like teenagers?
Yeah, they were like late teens, like probably like 16 or 17.
What's so great is that you guys were both like, that's what I didn't realize when I was babysitting and just hearing this story. It's maybe the first time I'm putting it together. Like, there's something so great about the like 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds and like the teenage babysitter. And it's because you're both in very distinct emotional turmoil times in your life. Like, I was at a doctor recently for something, and she was like, oh, like, have you ever had like, you know, it's, we call it the 7 year, because like a lot of people around 7, they have like, you know, some sort of emotional turmoil. I was like, yeah, literally I've been like depressed since I was 7. I'm fine, you guys. But I was like, something did happen. And she was like, yeah, she's like, it's 7. And so like, there's like, honestly, you put a 7-year-old and like a 15-year-old in a room, like those are people who are experiencing more raw emotions and at different ends of the spectrum than like you could ever. Like you could even put a divorced man in the room and he wouldn't even chart.
Right. I'd never heard that before.
But... Well, I think that's just me. So okay. I don't know. Okay. That's a common thing. You inspire me, Frank. What can I say?
Thank you. We just had never talked about, I guess that's not really thought as a, I mean, I, of course, we're, you know, our audience and my co-host and I are both adults, even though I barely an adult, according to most people. But yeah, we just never thought about it, I guess, as a soup. But what is your 8th favorite soup?
Okay, so this is like a little hometown. Actually, you know what? No. I'm going to, my real 8th and my 9th were kind of switched. So I'm going to go, okay. I'm going to be real here. Amy's vegetable soup. That's okay. Like just a veg. It's like the alphabet soup that Amy's, that organic brand has. And I like it because it's kind of like SpaghettiOs. I don't think I can eat it anymore, but it's like kind of like a healthier version of SpaghettiOs in that it has a similar, like it has that similar, like sort of like, you know, like that, like vibe in the back of your throat, like that thing. It has that thing to it. That's so good.
So is it a chunky vegetable? Is that, am I finding that right? It's like a tomato based, vegetable soup.
Green can.
Oh, the lentil vegetable? That's what I'm saying.
You can get it out of my cabinet. Hold on.
Okay. I've just never... Usually when we get the off-brand vegetable soup, so I just wanted to make sure that we had it correct.
I got you.
Okay.
Jeez. And I have this other soup here that I pulled from my files for you.
Okay.
If you want to talk about gluten-free. Okay, so it's the alphabet... Okay. Fat-free, organic, Amy's organic soups. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's just bomb. It's really good. They tell a little story on the back about how Amy made this soup for her kids because kids love finding the letters in this flavorful, nourishing soup made with organic tomatoes, vegetables, and alphabet pasta. Yeah, this is a real shame, Frank. I wish I could, you know what? If it wasn't more money to mail a can of soup than like nearly anything. Actually, you know what? I think I could put that in a flat rate. I can maybe mail you this soup if you want it. But I feel like I would just probably should just order you one on like... Postmates.
Well, so Amy's Organic, this isn't, I'm not doxing them, but when we started this podcast, we got a bunch of, you know, press, like kits of like soup and stuff like that. I mean, we reached out to them. But yeah, so, and we had like, you know, reached out to Amy's Organic. When I say we, I had. And so they had reached out to us and they're like, you know, what soups do you want to send to us? Or what do you want to us to send to you? And I was just so overwhelmed. We were so overwhelmed by the amount of soups that we got that we totally forgot to reach out to them. So there's a 2-year-old email sitting them. We left them on read of Amy's Organic.
Oh, man.
That could have been.
So like what happened that they even fat, like, were like, did you have an episode that really popped off or were they just like, finally someone's talking about soup?
So we reached out to a bunch of, so I guess we reached out to them, just because I was going down the list. I'm like, wow, look at, we actually have like something that people are listening to this. We were, I don't know, 2 months in. And so I'm like, you know, maybe we can get some soups out of this and build relationships with soup companies. We have had a couple soup CEOs on the podcast, the early days of the podcast. So yeah, I reached out to them and, you know, we'll review it on the podcast and stuff. And so we had a lot of great soups that we tried, basically went down the Whole Foods, because Campbell's and Progresso had no time for us.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're like, you know, we don't do that, especially
it's the organic, it's the family right. owned. That's where you'll find your success with these soup people.
Well, that's, yeah, the Whole Foods. We just went down the list. I'm like, oh, here, this is one I've never heard of. And so it was great. And we met some, like a guy, Bone Broth, Lono Life Bone Broth. And so, yeah, a lot of great soups we got from that. But never, next time I'm at the store, I will pick the Amy's Organic Soups Low Fat Alphabet Soup. I see they have it at Target. And I will.
Yeah. And I don't eat it for the low fat element. It okay. just is. And I was reading the whole thing, so I felt like including it. I don't right. know if there's a full fat alphabet soup. It is made for children. Like, but you know, it's, I don't think you burned any bridges at Amy's.
Okay.
Honey.
No,
I think you're fine. And you know how it is. You work in marketing. You know that whoever sent you those soups to begin with, they're probably dead. Like they're no longer with the company. Like who knows what happened to them? Like, you know, not literally dead, but maybe you don't have to worry about it. Just move on. If next time you eat, like just gaslight them next time you email them. Be like, hey, Amy's, like, you know, following up on those soups you sent me, like, just act like totally normal about it. Like, it hasn't been 2 years.
It was like October, November. So maybe they're like, oh, you know, they just don't look at the fact that there's not a two there. It's just 2019. Maybe they'll just say, oh, October, great. You know, I forgot about this guy. But, you know, maybe Yes.
I'm sure a can of Amy's takes like two. Oh yeah, the one I'm holding right now expired in March 2019. Listen, I'm sure Amy's expires more quickly. So in only 2 years, I feel like you could send them an email that says, hey, Amy's, like, just finished enjoying all the soups.
The funny thing is we do have different companies. We have like soup packets that I'm sure expired 2 years ago that we tried. I think we got to all of them and did them their due diligence. But yeah, we do have some expired soups. But the one thing with soups is I feel like really you have about a 5-year window with those powdered soups until like they're not good anymore. You know, I may be just an animal with that, but you know, it's what's going to expire with a freeze dried carrot and a pea?
I agree with you 100% on that. And I think, well, the freeze dried ones, yes, I agree that the date is just there. It's like Advil or something. It's right. just there to get you to buy more. But no, these organic soups might actually have a shorter shelf life. So I'm telling you, I think if you just emailed them, hey guys, just finished all of our soups that you sent. We wanted to give you some positive feedback. Would love to have some more soups. I think that it's not unbelievable that two guys who are constantly eating soup, just constantly, that's sure. as far as the public knows, you know.
Right, right.
That you might have like so many soups in the mix that you just finally now finish the Amy's, and you could turn that into a win. You could say like, right. I've spent 2 years eating and thinking about these soups, and I would like to approach you about sponsoring my podcast.
Right. You know what? It was so good that it took me 2 years to emotionally gain the strength to reach out again.
Right. Like that is with all of the nourishment of your soups considered. Like right. that's, you know, make sure that they know you have good energy.
Right. Fall into soup presented by Amy's, or fall into soup with Frank presented by Amy's Organic.
Yeah.
So what are we on? Number seven? What is your seventh favorite soup?
Okay. Well, this is specific. Like, I think that everyone feels like they're the best Chinese food that they've ever had is like the one from like where they grew up eating Chinese food.
Right.
And so for me, it's what I always grew up calling Shanghai, can I help you? Because when you would call an order wonton soup from Shanghai, this, I think it was called like Shanghai something. I don't know what it was, but to me it was Shanghai, can I help you? Because that's how the guy would answer his phone. So like, right. Even when I was, and my mom like had me on the phone, like working as like a secretary, like I would answer the phone literally and say MacLear residence, Molly speaking. Like I was very much like, when I was like eight, I was taught how to like take proper notes for my mom's like catering business, because clients would call the house and I'd be like, okay, can I have your phone number, please? Okay, great. My mom will get back to you at her earliest convenience. Thank you so much. So like I would call and order our Chinese food, and the wonton soup at Shanghai, can I help you, is the most delicious. I mean, I'd be devastated if I looked into it and found out they weren't there anymore.
So what's the sixth soup?
I just, you know, not too much to say about this. Okay. Just like, you know, a Thai coconut soup.
Okay.
Like I would also categorize this with like the one I pulled up for you here. I don't know if you can hear my files. Thai kitchen instant rice noodle soup is like what this is the closest thing I could find so far to like gluten-free ramen. And of course I mess with the seasoning because it's just like not, I want that. I want to eat the ramen seasoning pack still, but those apparently have wheat in them.
Oh no.
I like, can you imagine? So like, yeah. So I'm basically like going raw dog. I also put up something else here. Knorr's chicken bouillon. Okay. Now this is what I will on an afternoon, like a 3 PM slump, I'll toss one of these bad boys into like a mug with like 20 ounces of hot water. And I will sip just salted broth for the afternoon.
Mm.
Delicious. That's what I like. I'll add that to that. But like, you know, these coconut Thai soups, those are always really good. And most Asian adjacent soups.
So I've actually had this before, the different Thai kitchen. We went, like when we discovered them, we like bought a bunch from the Bump and Dent store. This was back during like 2008, 2009, when we were shopping at the Bump and Dent. But I remember heating
What's
up those.
What's a Bump and Dent?
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever been to one, but it's a grocery store where it's like cans that are like beat up. It's basically rejects from the grocery store. I wasn't poor as a child. We just but there would be like
It's saving money,
right? Close to expiration date food. I guess there's like Grocery Outlet Bargain Market's the big one. They bought out. We used to have a local chain that they bought out. But yeah, it's just they would have like even stuff that just didn't sell but still had like a couple months left. So you could buy like frozen stuff that close to expiration like for 25 cents and stuff. So we'd get like a whole cart full of stuff for like $100 or whatever compared to, you know, a couple items from Walmart. So
are the stores branded Bump and Dent, or is that like a little like local expression?
So it's a little both. There are ones that are called Bump and that they have like the name and then they're called Bump and Dent to kind of give the impression that, you know, you're not going to a regular grocery store. But yeah, it's not
like come here. If you think you can't afford soup, come here.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. It's but I have like when we refer to because it's like kind of a common thing, because where I'm from, there's a lot of like Amish and like Mennonite. And so they actually run them, mostly the ones that aren't the chains. So yeah, they're just, I don't know, the Bump and Dent or the discount grocery store, you know, one of those. But
yeah, no, like I feel like those are the things that somewhere, I mean, I grew up with my grandparents, like were essentially like, my mom was my mom, but like my grandparents were basically like my safe haven in the world, and they were Depression era people. So, you know, even though that, you know, they had done well in their lives, my grandfather was a writer, my grandmother had been a teacher, you know, in a mom of six kids, but like, you know, they like could afford nice things, but they always had that sort of mindset of like, no, if like you're making a big vat of something, and you are going to freeze it. Like, what's the difference between getting something that's like marked down, maybe has a dent in it, or in getting something that's like brand new off the shelf? Really, what's the difference? And it's right. so true, especially for like big batch cooking. Like you'd be a fool to not go to the Bump and Dent. And it's like that sort of thing that like happens to like the middle class, I think, and especially new money, where it's like, oh, I have to abandon that. And I've been through that, where you're like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. Are you kidding me? That's like poor people shit. But like, I like had this realization, like over the pandemic, I was like, I need to get more money for Bitcoin, but like, I have to, I have to still be like, I'm big into crypto and I'm an AMC host. So like, I'm in all that shit. Right. So like, I was like, I need to find more money to put into this, but like, I can't, you have to treat it like gambling. So I went Gary V on myself and I was like, you know what, Molly? No, this is actually the truth of it, is that like rich people, all the rich people I know low key do sell their shit that they don't want anymore. And they low key, like, you know, they do those like little hustles that I think at some point you give up along the way, 'cause you think, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. But in reality, like if it's not like a huge physical effort for you to do it or a waste of time, you should always be doing stuff like that. So I like Bump and Dent, and I like, yeah, I think this is a great rich person mentality. Right. And I'm glad you grew up going to that. You know, you. Shout out Bump and Dent.
Right. We haven't been there in years. But I do, even though this is a soup podcast, I'm also into finance. And I am a former AMC shareholder, HODL. But that's my...
What happened?
You know what? I wasn't a believer. I wrote the... I was a GameStop guy. I kept my... During the whole run... I kept my GameStop, my old GameStop card from middle school in my wallet just for good luck. I wasn't a believer. There were people before the whole surge that were asking me, they're like, you know, I'm thinking about buying AMC, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, movie theaters kind of dead with streaming. And then it started to surge and I'm like, I'm going to buy AMC just to ride the wave. And then I'm like, I'm a fraud. So I sold my AMC and kept my GameStop, but now I'm out of all of them. But
did you sell at like, did you get gains?
I made like $10 or something. To be honest, I didn't buy a majority of my portfolio was not in AMC. It was like I put like 1% in. So I basically, it surged up. I'm like, I'm just gonna hold, you know, in diamond hands and not sell. And then I it went back down. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna let the real people who want AMC and believe in it, I'm gonna let them have the fun. I'm just gonna get out and support them from the sidelines.
Okay, Frank, do you have Taurus placements?
No, I don't know what that is.
Like Taurus, like your astrological sign?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm like a Gemini or something like that.
Okay, I feel like you definitely have, that's some Taurus energy you're bringing with like, in that they are both like the, lazy is the wrong word, most like passive sign, but also stand the potential to make the most money. Tauruses are the richest zodiac sign. So I'm just telling you, don't get back in AMC. I'm looking at this new one. Okay. I just got into this LVO. Okay. This is for, it's a live one, and it's, they're right down at like 228 right now, up a little bit, but it's been going down. This is a good time to buy. And from what I understand is they're basically like doing, digital concert events, which this is so sick, but I found out about it on an Astro World, an Astro World Fest, like Reddit, where they were like, yeah, like, you know, someone was like, yeah, this is why I'm really glad I'm investing in digital events, you know, LVO. And I was like, okay, like this is obviously some sort of like shill or whatever. But then I went and looked it up and I was like, actually, you know what, for that price, like, why not like throw in like literally just like $40 and see how it plays out. But if you look at it, I mean, like it hasn't had like crazy, you know, I mean like.
Right. LVO. Like, yeah. Live One Inc. Is that it?
LVO. Yes. And okay. I also today I bought two Plug. That's what it's called. It's called Plug. And I don't know what that does. I forgot. Oh yeah. No, my adopted brother told me.
Plug power? Is that the... Yeah. I think, yeah. I unfortunately looked into it when it was right at the start of the pandemic. It was like $5 or something like that. And then I looked at it the other day and what is it at? Like in the 20s or four, whatever it's at.
It's at, yeah, it's 41 today.
41. So I
like, I know. The biggest mistake of my life is not holding on so many occasions. You have no idea. Do you know how many Shiba Inu I had? And I just like probably the week before. I mean, I was looking at the prices. I think I bought them at like 24. Now it's went up to like 80 something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, you know, I don't think I made a little bit, like, I don't need this. And I just like tossed them. And then like, literally I woke up, I maybe had like $30 left in it. Oh, no. And I woke up and it was like, you're up $131 on Shiba Inu. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, right. It really is, right? It really is that thing always. And I sometimes get impatient and I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't feel like Amazon's going anywhere. Right. Like, and I'll just sell some Amazon because I'm like frustrated and I'm like, you know, I'm into the dopamine, you know, much like soup.
All right. What is soup number five?
A really good lobster bisque. And I'm talking like coastal cities, but really only New England.
Okay.
I want some full chunks of lobster, like at least on top. And it's got to be creamy. It's got to be very creamy. Sometimes you'll order like a lobster bisque out here and they'll have it in like chicken broth. And I'm like, what kind of loose interpretation is this?
Yeah, we're not exactly a lobster capital, but yeah, ours is like pulverized, like lobster bits, you know, where it's not like chunks of lobster. It's just like you can kind of feel it on your tongue. Like, I think that's lobster or langoustine, whatever they're putting in here. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, no, I mean, so like, when I say chunks, I mean like when there's like ornamentation on top. I'm going to need right. that to be a really solid. I'm going to say even it should be claw only.
Okay.
And then the rest of it, you know, I don't care. But to me, a bisque implies lobster pieces floating around in what looks like it could be a chicken noodle on a different night. It confuses me.
Right. Yeah. My co-host, Jimbo, he is a big lobster bisque fan in our bracket, a soup bracket of 2020. Lobster bisque made it to the final against broccoli and cheddar. And oof. Yeah, we did a Omegle. We did an Omegle chat. We didn't do video. We asked a bunch of people on Omegle during the podcast. We did five people, lobster bisque or broccoli and cheddar, and broccoli and cheddar came out on top. But yes.
Hey, I'm stealing that idea from you. That is a great fucking idea. And I'm going to steal that for my podcast Trend Lightly. That is what I'm talking about, baby. Are you kidding me? Yes, that's exactly right. I'm literally writing this down because we are always looking for like, because sometimes we don't get like, we really want to talk about something that's trending online, but there's no, all of our stories like ultimately do, they're tied back to the internet in some way. That be through like a post that like really ricocheted things or whatever. And like, well, like we recently, a subject we recently did, we're both like, Tiffany and myself are both sort of like embarrassed to like get too gossipy about like private details of people's lives. Mm-hmm. But like we did the John Mulaney and Olivia Munn story a little bit ago because it spurred off of first, I think it was the term parasocial relationships was when we first covered it because that like had a little moment trending. And everyone like found out what that was one week. And then the other one was when, like blind item culture. I think that was the other one. So we like look for any thread we can. Mm-hmm. And Omegle, that's what I call it, Omegle.
That's probably how you say it.
No, I don't know if it is. I got like made fun of for that, but I like was because of the accent on the E. Mm-hmm. And I was on something and these people, I was on this great podcast, but they said like, oh, you mean Omegle? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, Omegle. Like, okay. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't know. Maybe I just have more flavor than some, but like, yeah, it's omegle to me. I'm definitely, that's going to be my new in for things. Cause previously it was fan fiction. So this is great. Thank you.
Okay. Anytime. All right. So what is your fourth favorite soup?
Beef stew.
Beef stew. Okay.
Hit me with a beef stew. I know that's not familiar for you, but I love like a classic beef stew. Like Dintymore, I liked more as a child, but the older I age, the more I realize that it's like basically dog food.
Right, right.
But I do. I love a comforting beef stew.
The funny thing is that can, I didn't even know. All I knew was more on there. I had never heard it said Dintymore. I never heard before, but I think I think someone in the, we had a can, so someone in the house ate it. But yeah, when you said beef stew, it automatically went to that like checkered plaid buffalo check can of beef stew.
Yeah. So like, here's my thing. Like as much as I've eaten so many soups at home, especially when I was like, basically like in my early 20s, I don't think I've even acknowledged the level of poverty I was living in, but I just always ate soup out of a can. I will say that my favorite soups though are oftentimes like my behavior in ordering them at restaurants. And so, yeah, I would say that. Yeah. And also this is like a four is tied for also French onion, but with French onion, okay. I really mostly like the cheese. And then I eat all the, like I use the onions to like push down my spoon so I can get all the broth in there. Like I'm really there for the broth and for the cheese. Of course, I think I'm mostly there for the cheese.
So I guess that would be a little different now, right? With you eating French onion, because usually like there's a piece of bread like in
oh
the
my god
soup,
you know, I
so.
Think I could get it done without that. I right, think I could I'm ask sure. them no crouton,
right?
You know, yeah, I think I could do that.
Yeah, the crusty Gruyere on that was actually, I think, the name of our first podcast on the crock of French onion is phenomenal.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe sometimes that I get to live in a world with food like that. It's just so exciting. Like we could be eating cubes, you know what I mean?
Right. Soylent, yeah. the one thing about French onion I will say is it's hard to screw up. Like even if you go to a bad restaurant, they probably have a decent thing of French onion.
100%. Like, and it always feels luxurious to me whenever I see it, because it's like, okay, I know this is going to come kind of special because they at least just had to go melt the cheese on this. Whereas I feel like a lot of places when they're sort of dodgy, you know, it does feel like sometimes it feels like French onion is the only, I'll repeat myself. Sometimes French onion is the only like safe thing on a menu because you know that they have to make it fresh-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, who knows what's under the cheese, like how safe that is. But that actually brings me to soup number three, if you don't mind if I do a little swift intro. So this is something Jimbo may know about. And I would actually like to have a conversation with Jimbo. I feel like we have a lot of very similar qualities. He probably is familiar with the chain Bertucci's.
Yes. Yeah. I'm also familiar with it.
You're also familiar. Okay, great. So I actually was a hostess at Bertucci's in high school. That was my senior year job. So I love Bertucci's. I think like anyone who ever works at a chain restaurant, we all like have this experience where like the menu is so like you're so overexposed to it that you just like have your two or three safe items that you go to for your shift meal every single time, because like everything else is just like, oh, I can't anymore. I don't really have that problem with pizza ever. Or I never did anyway, but, Bertucci's has this sausage soup and it's what I dream of at night. Like literally it's unbelievable. So it's like I know this because I like went and found the recipe online for this sausage soup, and I've been able to recreate it at home. Which is like so thrilling, especially because I remember my boss telling me one time, like, Molly, if you knew what was in that soup, you would let me know. Right. Meaning like the base of it is like very chemically. Mm-hmm. But I found a good dupe recipe for it and I'll make that. It's very, I'm not like I would never call myself a sausage person. I don't want a sausage at breakfast, but this Bertucci's sausage soup got under my skin and it's never left.
I can't say, yeah, I didn't know Bertucci's had soup. The only thing I remember them from is like the pizza dough that they gave you as like a kid, I think, right? With the kids menu. I think that was, yes, that Bertucci's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would give you dough. Yeah, I mean, that was one of my jobs. One of my many jobs at Bertucci's was when I sat a family, sometimes providing their children with some dough. So if you guys, if you ever went to Bertucci's in Lexington, Massachusetts in maybe like 2001, I probably gave you some loose dough. Shout out. And I'm glad we're connecting.
Yes. Well, Jimbo also, he worked at Charlie Brown's, if you've ever heard of that, which is the chain.
I think that's Jersey, but I've, no, okay. Actually, maybe there was like one when I was very young, but I think that is New York, New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. We only had like a couple of them. It was the Handshake Club. That's a running joke between Jimbo and I, but yes. Yeah. Definitely, I will see the next podcast. See, this is a tease. I will have a lot of questions asked Jimbo, especially if he's had the Bertucci's sausage soup, because the last episode he talked about California Pizza Kitchen's soup, which I'm sure Bertucci's and California Pizza Kitchen are rivals, I would think. But
no, they don't exist on the same plane. And how dare you? What the fuck, Frank? No, it's, I, no, listen, I'm like, I'm not into CPK. It's not more Italian, but like it kind of is. Right. It's also like a smaller chain. They also like, they're just like their base of flavor is different. That's one thing that's annoyed me about living in California is like, they feel the need to like Californify, like, everything. Like it's just pizza. Like it doesn't have to have like some sort of zigzaggy bullshit on it, like with this weird ass sauce. Like, I don't know, at least Bertucci's has integrity.
So what is your number two soup?
Cream of mush.
So when you would mention this on Trend Lightly, and luckily you had said this, but every time I think of cream of mushroom, I can't say I've ever just had a straight cream of mushroom is throwing it in like a tater tot casserole, like the condensed cream of mushroom.
It's the glue of so many Thanksgiving side dishes. Like, right. Absolutely. And like, I will. Yeah, no, there's times I'll use like a condensed Campbell's cream of mushroom for something like that. I'm more thinking of like when you go to a restaurant that... Well, like most restaurants you go to when they, a soup that they have regularly on the menu is cream of mushroom, they're going to have it nailed. Mm-hmm. But it's a really like, I don't know, mushroom I think is really underrated as a food in general. I have like this mushroom egg that I make. We can talk about that next time I come on. I know I'll be a regular after this.
Sure.
But right. After this fucking freak show. But yeah, no, I just love cream of mush. It's very soothing. I think that it like is a very multi-purpose thing. And it's more of like moving away from the condensed. Think about it as like less white broth. And it's more like brown and thin and like smoothed out. And sometimes you'll find it like really like the mushroom, similar to the broccoli cheddar story I was telling earlier.
Right.
Sometimes you'll find a cream of mushroom soup where the actual like pieces of the vegetable are invisible and they're just living in this like, you know, they're in living in harmony with this cream and broth.
Right. Yeah. I've seen like great pictures where I'm like, yes, I would try this, but I don't know. I just have a blur, but I don't think that's really a thing. Like it's usually here, it's wherever they have soups. I've never seen like a cream of mushroom really. I'm sure I've been somewhere where they've had it, but yeah, I mean, we're like a huge mushroom capital, but Yeah, it's just always goes back to that cream of mushroom and cream of chicken. I don't know if anyone's actually made that into a soup,
Oh,
but.
yeah. Can you imagine? I actually do wonder about those cream of chicken freaks. Actually, that was like not compassionate of me. I'm sorry. I take it back. But wait, for some reason, Frank, I feel like, and I know I made this up, but
Okay.
I feel like you don't live in Pennsylvania anymore. You actually live in Las Vegas. Did I completely make that up?
No.
Like, you seem too tender to live there.
Yeah,
So I
no.
was going to say, like, Frank, you got to get out of there. Like,
No.
no, but I'll look up some good cream of mushroom
Okay.
joints near you. I really
Okay.
will. And I'll put some time and energy into it
Please.
because I want to get you one. Yep, no problem. So
I
this
d
is number one.
yes, the number one soup.
Okay. So, like, Jewish deli soups, in theory. It says my connection is unstable. Am I good now?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, good. I'm obsessed with Jewish deli soups, like in theory, but I actually have very like specific things. Like matzah, never for me.
Okay.
For some reason, I don't like a matzah ball. It's just too, maybe it's because it probably is full of gluten or something. And I just never, and I like have had like aversions to like unnecessary. As I said, like unnecessary pastas, I like to avoid that. Like I've never been into that. But Greenblatt's is a Jewish deli in West Hollywood. I think it's next to the Comedy Store. It's next to the Comedy Store. Yeah, not the Laugh Factory. It's next to the Comedy. No, it's next to the Laugh Factory, I think. It's next to the Laugh Factory, and you have to pull in the back. But it has this phenomenal. I mean, this place is like a wine store. It has like all the pastrami, all the everything. Great pickles, phenomenal pickles, great deli salads. But they do this chicken and vegetable that is just divine. It's like beyond everything. And I've been so desperate because I moved to the other side of town and I cannot get, I live in, California's Armenia, Glendale. So it's all the way on the other side of town from like Hollywood. So I cannot get Greenblatt's anymore. So I started a campaign and a personal one woman campaign.
Okay.
Oh, it's less of a campaign. It's more of like a, I don't know, a sneaky trick. But I would call Greenblatt's like once every like 2, 3 weeks. Sometimes I would wait like a month or two in between. And I slowly, by pretending I had a series of allergies and or was trying to settle bets, got the ingredients out of them. Like,
Right.
so I have the ingredients to the soup. I make this soup all the time. It's just a clear broth with like, you know what, honestly, it's not very dissimilar to what you're showing. I like a more heavy broth, but your Zoom picture is not dissimilar to what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
And it has no noodles, no rice, no pasta. It's literally just, chicken and veg. And it's got this, like, I don't know, the broth is kind of like it's plain, but like in a really pleasant way. And it feels so good. Like literally when my dog died, he died in the middle of August, okay? And my friends were like, "Can I do anything for you?" I was like, "Honestly, if I call in like a huge order to Greenblatt's, will you just bring it to my house?" And like all I wanted from anyone when my dog passed was just 2 fucking quarts of Greenblatt's soup. Like I was like, don't even worry about it. I'll pay for it. It's the only thing that will heal my soul. So this soup is like so beyond a comfort, actually gone like out of the way to figure out their recipe. It's perfect. And if you're ever in LA, you don't even have to be a stand-up comedy fan to be in the area. If you happen to be, that's your journey. But like this is a yeah, it's a great soup. It's a great restaurant. It has wine. It's like, it's definitely a deli, but I actually feel like Cantor's is very overrated.
Okay.
Like no shade or hate or whatever to Cantor's. It's like an institution. But my favorite like Jewish deli in LA is Greenblatt's.
So, It looks like Greenblatt's stopped. It served its last meal August 11th, 2021, from what I'm
Are you
I'm
fucking kidding me?
There's an article from Eater LA, Los Angeles Magazine. I shouldn't be the one to tell you this. Iconic West Hollywood Jewish deli Greenblatt's closes permanently after 95 years of business.
So first my dog dies in 2020 and now Greenblatt's dies in August of 2021. You've got to be fucking kidding me. No, thank God I spent I'm just so happy that I am such a little sneak and I got that recipe, because if I hadn't, no, that could really be my final straw. Like, thank God I was in a good enough place to receive that news.
Okay.
But no, Swingers is actually another really great place, and they have a chicken and vegetable, and Swingers they were victims of the pandy as well. But it's also, you know, Swingers from like every movie you've ever watched, like it's in every movie. But they also closed down due to the pandemic, and they got brought back up because, literally the girl who was like the shift manager was like, I'm going to get everyone in town to put together money so we can buy Swingers. So I'm hoping, you know, this was great, Frank. And Greenblatt's, you know, come to my house if you want it.
Okay. Just put a Facebook marketplace thing out there, because that's now, like, I see a bunch of people like selling different like specialties of like, you know, on Facebook marketplace listings. So you can just, or a Craigslist ad, you know, unofficial Greenblatt's recipe or whatever, soup. You could just sell the recipe, honestly.
No, I would never. I would never. No, frankly, this was just an invite to your listeners. Not inviting any fucking freaks off the street for my soup. And also, this is like, you know, I'm trying to keep it in the soup family. Okay. Like, you know, so like only real soup appreciators, if I'm in the mood, you can come to my house with a mug and I'll toss them in there for you.
Like trigger treating, just come in with your
mug. You know what? Actually, it wouldn't be a bad idea for me to get like little cup size things and freeze a bunch in my freezer for when Soup and an Easy Nation eventually shows up in my driveway.
I don't know. There's some bad apples in the superfan community. So I wouldn't advertise that, but hopefully, you know.
Oh, well, like, yeah, no, don't.
But the good apples, you know, just politely knock, say, you know, do you have any soup for me? And, you know, maybe if you ask them nicely.
Toss me an at on Twitter. Don't even go to my DMs and say soup ? And then if I get back to you, I get back to you. If I don't, I don't. And there's your answer. Okay. But I will, you know, I need you to do a self-assessment before you ask. Say like, not in a way that like a psychopath can't tell if they're a bad person, but like literally be like, hey, have I been like disruptive to the soup community? Have I ever been rude to Frank or Jimbo? Like, do I write like weird emails? Am I trying to like ruin their sponsors? Like, you ask yourself these questions, and if the answer to all of those comes up as a no, then maybe if you reach out to me, I'm more likely to look into it. But don't reach out to me unless you've done that assessment. Okay.
So before I get you out of here, you just mentioned, I know I keep on referencing your podcast, I feel like you know, probably doing the plug due diligence, but you talked about gluten-free soups because you're, you know, now not doing the gluten, and we're big canned soup fans on here because it's usually we don't make, you know, homemade soups. So you had mentioned like Progresso. So I found like a bunch of Progresso soups, and they actually have like gluten-free soups apparently that like don't say gluten-free. Like allegedly the rich and hearty broccoli cheese with bacon is gluten-free, which I would find hard to believe.
I saw that. I know. Well, so like this is for the keto heads, right? Like this is what I'm finding is that, you know, when you go gluten-free, unfortunately you dabble in some communities that, like, you know, I have no hate for the keto because I love all that shit, but it's also like when you go gluten-free, you also are sometimes going to get lumped in with the keto people or the vegan people. And sometimes when I'm, you know, the other day I was like really like on the edge, cause I was like, I think I'm going to fucking lose it. This is maybe a few weeks ago, not the other day. But I was like, I think I'm going to lose it if I don't find a goddamn gluten-free sandwich that's not going to be disgusting. Like, cause every gluten-free sandwich you get is like a regular sandwich, but just with like nightmare bread. Okay. And, you're like, then I guess I have to eat sandwiches and lettuce for the rest of my whole life, which is like, that brings on another emotional wave. So I realize, yes, there are a lot of gluten huge for me. Like, I know that sounds like so obvious, but like, I've always had lived the pleasure that most of us do of like not really looking at a label beyond like maybe, you know, whatever. This like can, this alphabet soup can that I'm holding that's been expired for 2 years, this says contains wheat on it. So like, I know, but like there's things that I, you know, there's things that I'm finding out surprisingly, refreshingly so, are gluten-free.
I mean, yeah, there seems like there's like similar to like, there's like ones that you've kind of mentioned, like there's a garden vegetable, there's like a beef pot roast that's kind of like beef stew or steak and vegetables. So if these are actually gluten-free, maybe something to try. But do you know where it seems like, doesn't seem like skeptical that, like, you know, chicken and tortilla soup would be gluten-free? Because like, wouldn't like tortillas have gluten in them?
It depends if they're corn or flour.
Okay, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
See, right? And no, I know it's like, I feel so dumb because I literally thought potatoes had gluten in them. Like, I'm so, like, I really did. I was like, oh, I can't eat potatoes anymore. Like, I didn't realize I was like confusing a lot of things. And I think also diet culture has done that to a lot of us, where you start to feel like a little like, woo, like, wait, what? Oh, rice. It doesn't have gluten. That's the hack. Like, I didn't realize what place that had in society, truthfully, until I understood the place rice had in society. I'm just saying, like, I never understood why there would be like a chicken and rice option when we have delicious noodles right over here. And that's the answer, is that like, there's certain things, oddly enough, the ramen packet seasoning being one of them, that just like weirdly have some sort of wheat derivative in them, or miso soup. That was like, you know, that was how that whole thing came up on Trend Lightly, I think, was me saying like, goddamn, miso isn't available to me anymore.
Right.
I love miso.
Yeah, I very simple soup, but I have in the recent years found it's a good, like, the best one I ever had was, it was in Las Vegas, funny enough.
You're such a liar. You live there.
I've been there. I've been there twice. I was for my when I was a senior in high school. I didn't go on like a senior trip, not my thing, but the roommates and I, my parents, we went to, that's the running joke. I mean, I know you're super fan, but I call them the roommates because it's better to say my parents and I went out to, on a flight in conveyor belt sushi.
I like honestly was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was wondering because I was like, does he live with parents? Because I will buy him a Dutch oven. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I feel like I want to buy you something. This is just my way of showing affection. But like, no, truly. Okay. So you live with your parents and you went to Vegas and you got miso soup.
The great story. It was at a conveyor belt sushi place. The best. It was, you know, where the sushi goes out on, obviously the conveyor belts and stuff, and you just grab whatever, which, by the way, is like one of our joys in life. Whenever we find, maybe not with COVID, this was a little pre-COVID, but we'd go there for lunch, and it was not a lot where I'm from. They don't, so forever traveling, and they were like, oh, conveyor belt sushi. Anyways,
I didn't even see sushi until I moved out to California. Like, honestly, like coming from the East, because I mean, I had seen it, like, but I had never eaten it. Wait a minute, though. I cannot imagine that they put miso soup on a conveyor belt.
No, so we... Part of the reason why we bought it was because we were wondering that, because that's a dangerous game if you're putting it on a conveyor belt.
Yeah, you guys were fishing for a lawsuit.
We were. There's a guy who came out with the soup, and we're like, oh, no. We were like, we were depending on this. With the lawsuit money, we can no longer shop at the Bumpin' Tent.
I mean, let's talk about it. Like, that could have been the beginning of like your, well, I mean, it wouldn't be Joker because you're like not like that, but it would be,
thank you,
your Franker story, because like it could be like, honestly, think about it. You're 18 years old on a senior trip with your parents in Las Vegas, which is like the ultimate combo of like the worst time to be in Vegas. And you guys are getting these conveyor belt sushi things, and you burn off, let's say this miso on the conveyor belt burns you so severely that you lose your fingerprints, and it just leads you to like a life of absolute crime. And like you start as a college student, and it's like a bit like, oh, huh, isn't this funny? Like Frank has no fingerprints. I'm watching the trailer in my mind right now, and they're like going sort of like stupid, turns into that. And like, I think that there's a movie here.
Okay.
For you. And what could have happened on that Vegas trip with the miso soup?
We'll develop it. We'll write the script and make a whole soup origin story. Jimbo and I've thought about writing like a soup children's book. Maybe we write like a novel, a nice like chapter book about the soup villain, or a graphic novel, something like that. Spinoff to a movie. You know,
so. And I also want to clarify, like before anyone, that I have thought about what I've just said about the miso soup burning Frank so severely that he doesn't have fingerprints and can lead a life of crime. I want to say like just very specifically.
No, I chose not to go. That's the truth.
No, I know you didn't miss anything. You'd miss nothing, Frank. You missed fucking nothing. I went to Vegas with my boyfriend who was older than me in college. I was a junior. He was a senior. Very hot relationship. But. He wanted to go on his senior spring break, and he like just gotten into gambling because I think like Texas Hold'em had just become like extremely zeitgeisty. Mm-hmm. And so he really wanted to go gambling for his 21st birthday and or for his like senior year Vegas trip. And I went with him, and I think I got 2 free Cosmos, and I played some penny slots. And that was about it, baby. There's really not a lot to do in Vegas unless you're seeing it through like a child's eyes, but like a 20-year-old's eyes is maybe worse to see Vegas through because it's just envy.
Yeah, Circus was more. I mean, when I went there the first time, I was in middle school. I'm like, Circus is great. And then we had gone to spring. So the whole reason we went to Vegas is I wanted to go to spring training. I'm a big baseball fan. So we went to spring training in Arizona. And then the roommates and I are like, okay, then we'll go because you guys sat through 2 baseball games. We'll go to Vegas. And they don't gamble. And so we saw like Cirque du Soleil. So we saw like one of the Cirque du Soleil shows, and we got like those milkshakes with the pie, you know, piece of pie in it or whatever. And we're like, wow, this is great, you know. So
yeah, French clown realness, babe. You were experiencing it. And listen, you know what? I'm just proud of you guys. I'm proud of you 2 soup boys. This is a great podcast, and I'm so fucking thrilled that I left that TikTok comment. You know, I adore right. you. You're wonderful, Frank. I'm immediately endeared to you. If you ever need anything, let me know.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Do you have any, I guess, any plugs before you get out of here?
Sure. So I host a podcast that comes out every single Tuesday. That's like everything that trended online that you should catch up on or things that you should know in general. Maybe they didn't trend, but they should be trending. We've like been at the forefront of like a few different stories that way, which has been kind of cool. And then also if you know what, I don't even know if you enjoy Lifetime movies is necessary for you because a lot of people don't watch the movies. If you enjoy long form film critique that is like ridiculous and funny and done by a bunch of like comedians and writers and podcasters you probably already know, check out Mother May I Sleep With podcast.
Perfect. So, all right. Thank you for coming on. I'm also very glad that you left that a TikTok comment. I feel like, you know, maybe hopefully people are inspired to leave TikTok comments on podcasts they enjoy. Oh, I mean, not that you knew about us beforehand, but, you know, shoot your shot, I guess, with podcasts.
Me on the concept. That's also a nod to your marketing. Like you sold Thank me you. On the concept. All I heard was like there was a soup podcast going on and that can be hard sometimes with podcasts when I think the clip that I saw, maybe you guys had the video up, but I don't even think you had the video up. Maybe you did. But it's like a hard sell sometimes to like get people on board on TikTok with just like an audio clip of a podcast in some ways. And so the soup was definitely an X factor for me, but that's definitely some great, great things you were doing. So thank you so much for thank you so much for seeing my comment, receiving it and allowing me to be on here. And I apologize for the dissertation. You know, I really do, but.
No, I rabbit trail a lot on this podcast. We go on lots of tangents. So the soup and audience is used to that. So, all right. Thank you for coming on. I guess now reoccurring guest. So
best friends,
best friends, best soup friends.
But yeah, this was a blast and I'll come here anytime you want.
All right. The audio started to implode at the end. So I think we were done anyways, but, that's why there's kind of just a abrupt ending. But you know, when you're like trying to leave a party and it takes you 15 minutes to leave, we had too much fun. We're now best friends. So, and hopefully Jimbo can join us for one of these conversations in the future. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope Molly's fans enjoyed that. If you're listening, if you did, Soupin' Ain't Easy on Instagram, TikTok, SoupinAinteasy. I hope I spelled that right. If you want to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, that'd be great. I don't like the star farming that people do where only 5 stars, I could joke about it, but if you thought it was a 4-star podcast, give us 4 stars. If you thought it was 3-star podcast, give us 3 stars. Tell us why. But if you thought it was 5 stars, that would be great. Any ratings help on Apple Podcast or wherever you find your podcast, on like Napster, if that's still a thing, or I think people listen to podcasts on SoundCloud. We might be on SoundCloud next to all of the, you know, diss tracks and mixtapes and all of that fun stuff the kids are doing these days. So as a kid. So that's it. I hope you enjoyed the 10-minute stock talk. Almost just put that to the end, be like, well, if you like stocks, we just talk about the memeiest stocks that you can find on the internet, but I figured I'd just leave it in. Hopefully you didn't jump ship. Hopefully you made it to the end and you're actually hearing this outro. So, all right, if you enjoyed that, tell us so we can get more guests like Molly. I had a ton of fun. You know what? Even if you didn't like it, we had fun. So, and I'm sure if you didn't like it, it had to do with my laughter. So, All right, fall into Super Frank, episode 5. Jimbo, play us out. Yeah, it's Soupsy.